2 weeks ago, I shared a message on discipleship, and I really was going to jump right back into discipleship and just like hit the ground running and talk about discipleship. But I have to take a hard right turn, and you're going to find out why here in just a minute. Speaking of discipleship, we had talked about the fact that we want to look at the New Testament, we want to look at the scriptures of the disciples following Jesus, and that there's a lot that we need to learn from these guys, that every time that Jesus is teaching the disciples, that we need to have open ears that he would teach us, right? So there's this great verse in John chapter 15 where John is coaching up the disciples. Great verse for us to learn and apply to our lives. So Jesus is talking to the disciples, he's also talking to you and I. In John 15, he said, "Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. And because they persecuted me, naturally, they're going to persecute you." Hold up, Jesus. I want to walk on water, and I want to turn water into wine, and I want to multiply food and fish and bread, and I want to be famous and have a big Instagram following. I don't exactly want to be persecuted. I want to follow you. I want to be like you, but I want everybody to like me. I need everybody to like me. I need it. So I want to be like you, but I don't want to be persecuted like you. Why am I taking a hard right turn? Last week, I flew around the world. So the world's like a sphere, right? That's round. So I went from the Texas side to the other side. It was a 31-hour flight, and I went to a country in Asia. And while I was there, I was a part of a training for pastors and leaders from another country on that side of the world. And it's a country that's closed to the gospel, and it's a country where Christianity is illegal. So there's this amazing pastor from one country that for about 20 years used to fly and train and travel to another country, and he would teach these pastors in this closed nation the Bible, theology, ministry training, and he laid down his life for these people. The problem is this closed nation to the gospel has become very technologically advanced. So now it's easier to track the believers. So they use closed circuit television, they use AI, facial recognition, and they can track all the believers. So in 20 years ago, they would meet in people's living rooms, and as their training sessions got larger, they would meet in caves. I heard all of these stories about the old days when they would go into the mountains and they would go into a cave and they would have like the cooking area and the sleeping area and the bathroom area and the training area all in one cave because their numbers had grown. And I was just so touched by the fact that these are believers in Jesus, especially pastors, that would be willing to live in a cave on the floor in the dirt next to where they learn, next to where they sleep, next to where they eat, next to where they go to the bathroom, just so they wouldn't get arrested for being Jesus followers. I was so humbled by this. So now what they do is the nation, because of technology changing, they can't do what they used to do. They can't gather the way they used to gather. They can't travel the way they used to travel, even 15, 20 years ago. So this pastor, trainer, now has developed a ministry in this country that I was in where they will fly pastors from this closed nation to this free nation. And they fly in as tourists. So they're there, they see the sights, but they also, morning, noon, and night, have these Bible training seminars for pastors and leaders. And I don't know why I was there. I was just like, I'm just grateful to be there. And I was humbled to be there. And I was in this room with about 104 end time heroes of the faith, men and women that touched my heart. And here's the deal. I was so broken in the very first session because in their home country, when they worship, it's only 10, 15, maybe 20 people in a room. And when they worship, there's no instruments, there's no sound system, and they have to whisper their worship. So in this free country, with a worship team in their language, you should have heard how loud they were singing. I mean, they were at the top of their lungs. They didn't care who could hear them. They were shouting their worship in their language. And I'm in the back of the room just wrecked. I can't even get people to come to worship on time or care about our worship. And these people that have never sang at the top of their lungs are just crying out to God for the first time in their lives, most of them. And I'm just in the back of the room like, what am I doing here? End of this, this guy teaches, and at the end of the lesson, they open it up for questions and answers. The first question, thank you so much for these materials that you've given us. Translation. One question, translation. When the police come into my apartment to arrest me, is it okay if we hide these materials because of their Christian nature, or is that denying our faith and being cowardly Christians? So I'm sitting in the back of the room just, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I have police officers in our service protecting us, not arresting us. I don't know how to answer your question. I was talking to this pastor, and he was telling me about his brother or uncle, a cousin maybe, a relative pastor that had been arrested, beaten in front of the whole village, and then sent away. He was in jail for 7 years. And I'm just like, I was eating, we were having a cup of tea, and I said, Pastor, when I go back to America, what do you want me to tell my people? Like, you've ruined me. I'm ruined. What do you want me to tell the American church? What do you want us to do? He said, please tell my brothers and sisters in America to pray for us. And then he catches himself. He goes, but please don't ask them to pray that our persecution would end. Just pray we would be strong enough in our faith and not deny the Lord Jesus when they come for us. He said, and I don't mean to be rude to you, Pastor, talking to me. I don't mean to be rude to your church, but we honestly don't want to be like the American church because we don't want to take our faith for granted. Well, you just described the American church. That we take what Jesus has done for us and the freedoms that men and women have fought for us for granted. So today, for the next few minutes, I am going to try to calm down and stop being so angry with everybody and myself and talk in love. So I'm going to need a minute. So I'm going to open a window into the underground church, into the persecuted church. This video is going to give me 45 seconds to calm down. So I have for you 10 people from our usher and welcome team. This is an example, if you will, of the body of Christ. And I just wanted to have them demonstrate. I have here for you Christians from Europe and Latin America and India and North Africa and Asia and China and Korea. This is a picture, an imitation, if you will, of the body. And then I want to tell you that every day, Christians, part of the body of Christ, are being persecuted. Every month, 345 Christians are killed for their faith. Today. These statistics came from the end of May 2019. 105 churches are burned every month. 219 Christians are being detained without trial. Most of it is being caused worldwide by communism and radical Islam. So here's the body of Christ, okay? Here's the people. But all I'm going to say is these guys are being arrested. These guys are being persecuted. These guys are being beaten for their faith, arrested, murdered. They can't get jobs. They can't send their kids to school. Just these people. But it's okay because they live on the other side of the world. There's no such thing as a free church and a persecuted church because we're all part of the same body. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. When they suffer, we suffer. And when we're free in worship, in some way, because we're connected, they get to experience our freedom in worship when we worship freely. So I'm telling you, you've got to worship freely on behalf of them that can't. You've got to share your faith for those that can't, for fear of being arrested. When they suffer, we suffer. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. If one part suffers, all parts suffer. If one part is honored, all parts should be glad. Thank you, body of Christ. This is nothing new. This hasn't started in January. Oh my gosh, Christians are being persecuted. This is awful. This is going back to the book of Genesis. The moment that God was like, these are my people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these are my peeps. The devil's like, I'm going to do everything I can to destroy those Jewish people. And then we that are Gentiles, we believe in the Jewish Messiah. So then the devil's like, okay, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. I know who my targets are. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. Good Jewish kid, trying to live holy in an unholy world, sent into a den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three good Jewish kids trying to love God, honor God, worship God, and because of it, they're sentenced to death, but they live. Stephen, this follower of Jesus, because he would not deny Jesus was the Messiah, he was literally stoned to death. And the apostle Paul helped before he got saved. Later in Paul's ministry, when he's a believer in Jesus, he keeps getting arrested and beaten, released. Arrested, beaten, released. As an older man, he's arrested and he's in Rome in chains, waiting for trial for being a Jesus lover. And he writes most of your Bible. Most of the New Testament was written from a man behind bars for believing in Jesus. He writes a letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. How'd you like that to be your next tattoo? Just leave that up for a second. Won't you buy that t-shirt on Pinterest or Etsy? Let's go to the conference where I want to learn how to be persecuted. Oh, is that not a cool conference to go to? And listen to the church worldwide, the representation of what I showed you a moment ago. More people have died for Jesus in the last 100 years than the previous 1900 years. And here's the crazy thing that I don't understand. Generally speaking, the persecuted people are happier than the free people. What is that all about? Why are these people that are getting arrested and beaten and murdered happier than the people that have all the freedoms in the world? Paul sent a letter to the church in Philippi explaining Philippians chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that everything that's happened to me here when I've been arrested has actually helped to spread the good news. Because everybody, including the palace guards, they know that I'm in these chains because of Jesus. Paul's saying, I don't mind being locked up. I don't mind being in chains because it gives me a chance to tell the prison guards about Jesus. That's crazy. Can just jump down to verse 20. I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed and that I will continue to be bold for Christ just like I used to be. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or whether I die. Because for me, living means living for Christ, dying even better. Shouldn't Paul have been like, woe is me, poor me, arrested in this jail cell, all surrounded by all these prison guards. Y'all church, y'all should feel sorry for me. No, he's like, God's using my imprisonment to win more people to Jesus. This is amazing. Isn't it weird that the underground church, the persecuted church, is so strong spiritually? They don't have public church services. They don't have Christian radio. They don't have Christian television. They don't have Christian podcasts. They don't have Christian conferences to go to. Why is their faith so strong? And why is ours so weak? James addressed it. Brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Because you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Just leave it back there on verse 3. When your faith isn't tested, your weakness has a chance to grow. Verse 4. So let your faith grow because of your testing. When your endurance is fully developed, then you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Persecution makes people stronger. And sometimes it's easy to be like, man, I'm just ashamed of the American church. I lead one of them. And sometimes I'm ashamed of New Life. And I'm like, why are we spending money on sound and HD video and lights and padded chairs and air conditioning? What does it really matter? We must be the worst. No. We can't go down that rabbit hole. We honestly can't. Because at the end of the day, our mission, our win, is to see souls saved. And every single week, people give their heart to Jesus in this church. They repent of their sin. They turn from their sinful life. They turn to Jesus. This works here, so we do whatever we have to do to win our city, our country to Jesus. This wouldn't work in the underground church. We have different methods, but we have the same message. So we don't get to just have a pity party and feel shamed because we have the freedoms that we have. Jesus isn't ashamed of us. He's proud of us. Jesus is actually rooting for us. He's like, come on, American church. I've given you this freedom. I've given you this wealth. I've given you a DFW so you can reach the nations in an instant. And people are like, well, I can commiserate. I can understand. We experience persecution here in America. I understand. What? Well, it's so much harder to be a Christian these days. There's so much more hostility with Christians. We believe that God is real. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe the Bible is true, which means we believe in angels and we believe in demons, which means people that don't believe think we're crazy and stupid. We believe that it's a sin to sleep with somebody you're not married to. We believe it's a sin to get drunk. We believe it's a sin to get high. We believe homosexuality is a sin. We believe abortion is murder. And we believe that Jesus is the only way to know God the Father. He is the only way to receive eternal life. And because we believe the basics of Christianity, we're told that we're hateful and ignorant by people that don't believe. But that's not true. I'm not crazy, and I'm not stupid. I've seen blind eyes open. I saw a lady come back from the dead. I've seen drug addicts set free. I've seen marriages go from divorce to remarriage. We're not crazy. We're just believers. That's not being... If Saturday Night Live does a skit where they make fun of Jesus, that's not persecuting me. I don't watch SNL unless it's a really popular clip trending on YouTube the next day. So what do we do when we're truly persecuted? Acts chapter 4, the leaders of the church, hardcore persecution. Peter and John and these guys, they keep getting arrested. This is early as a Jesus follower. So all the church leaders have been beaten, arrested, and they've just been released. And this is what they say. Now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Being arrested for being a Jesus follower did not shut them up. It just made their prayer, Lord, make us bold to keep doing it. And here's how they asked for it. Verse 30, keep reading. Stretch out your hand with healing power. and may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That is your prayer for the underground church. That is your prayer for the persecuted church. Lord, strengthen them, empower them, make them bold to continue to preach the gospel and pour out your spirit for healings and signs and wonders and miracles to be done. What we want to do as Americans, because we feel like it's unjust, is we're like, Lord, I pray you'd overthrow those governments and all those people that are persecuting our brothers would be cast down into the pits of hell. That's an American prayer. That's not their prayer. Here's how we pray. Pray for the persecuted church as if the tables were turned. Imagine, if you will, that it was illegal to be a Jesus lover in America. Imagine, if you will, that when we gathered here, we had to whisper and leave the lights down, and we couldn't broadcast it on the internet, and we had a secret code, a secret handshake to get in the front door. Imagine if myself and Jeff and Catherine, Josie, we were arrested and beaten in front of all of you with no trial. We were just imprisoned for being Jesus followers. Imagine if your kids couldn't go to school because you've been deemed a Jesus follower. Imagine if you were starving because you couldn't work because you were fired for being a Jesus follower. Imagine if spiritually in the world it was dark in our country, but you heard about the church in China, the church in India, the church in North Africa, and they had this great religious freedom, and they had great wealth, and they had great love for us. What would we want them to do for us? We're a part of the same body, so we should do for them what we would want them to do for us if the tables were turned. We pray, we give financially, and we go when we're given opportunities. That flight was 31 hours. It was 5 flights, actually. I'm middle-aged and overweight and out of shape. And I flew coach, and I thought it was about to kill me. And then in retrospect, I'm like, because I was complaining to my wife and kids. I'm like, what? I was in an air-conditioned metal tube being fed meals and watching TV and, like, I don't understand how that was suffering. When we pray, we should feel their pain. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember those that are being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own body. So here's my challenge. Don't just pray for the persecuted church. Pray with our church family that's being persecuted. Be active in prayer, not passive. Because most persecuted Christians, they feel alone because they never get to experience a large gathering. They have little or no fellowship with other believers. But a prayer from a brother and sister in Christ, a part of that same body, a prayer, even though you're not there physically, what do you want to bet that the Lord dispatches angels to go fill that room and they're no longer feeling lonely, helpless, isolated? They feel God's presence. They feel surrounded. Prayer is vital because it's our way of encouraging brothers and sisters. Church, we can't take the freedom that God has given us for granted. While we have this freedom, let's live a Christian life that is worthy of the price that Jesus paid and the price that our brothers and sisters are paying. Now, let me just give you this quick timeout. As Americans, because we so love our rights and we love our freedoms, and when we hear about people that aren't free, we get all indignant. And we're like, well, gosh darn it all to heck, those people should be free. And I hate that country, and I hate those people for persecuting my brothers and sisters. Praise hallelujah. So we allow this unforgiveness and this bitterness into our hearts. Can I remind you of what Jesus said while he was literally hanging on a cross with unjustified nails in his hands and feet? Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus said, hey, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. when I was preparing this message, I read a testimony of a woman in Iran. This was a couple years ago. And her husband, he wasn't a pastor, but he was the pastor because he knew the most about the Bible. And he would have other families come to their home to learn about Jesus. And he was found out and he was taken out of his home and he was beaten. And while he was in custody, he died. But this woman lived in the same town with the men that arrested and beat and ended up murdering her husband. And she had such unforgiveness and such hatred toward these guys. And every time she'd see them in the market, see their police car go by, she just had such hatred for them. And then when she was reading her Bible, she read that verse that Jesus said, "Lord, forgive the men that have murdered me because they don't even know what they're doing." And she said, "The Holy Spirit spoke to me that I need to forgive the men that arrested and murdered my husband because they didn't know what they were doing." So I prayed for a miracle. I prayed that God would help me to forgive. And the way the story was written, she's like, "I felt this weight lift off of me and then this burden come on me to pray for those men." And she said, "What developed in my heart was such a deep love for these men that now every time I see them, I smile at them and I bring them figs and I pray that they would be saved." I read another story about a pastor that was arrested in China. This was back in the 80s, early 90s, when he got out of prison and wrote his story. So I guess he was arrested back in the 70s. He spent 23 years in a jail cell for being a Jesus follower. And here's what he wrote in his little booklet. I read a part of it. He said, "I have a message for the church in freedom. I have a message for us." He said, "I was forced into a jail cell for 23 years, and it was in that jail cell that I learned to pray and recite as much scripture as I could had memorized. And I drew so intimately close to the Lord. So you that are free, you need to build your own jail cell and force yourself into a place of prayer where you read the word, you memorize the word, and you spend time in prayer so that you learn to know God." That's what we free people do. We don't take our faith for granted. We don't lower the standard of what it means to be a Christian because we have freedom. We live up to the standard set by the persecuted church. We're like, I'm going to live up to that standard. I'm so just over. Like, "Well, Pastor, I was at this party and it was after work and man, I had one too many and I got pretty drunk. I think I need to repent." And there's churches in North Africa that are like, "Oh, you had too much to drink. That's nice. We have to walk 5 miles for drinking water every day." Time and time and time again. "Oh, Pastor, I looked at porn again and I just struggle with so much lust in my heart." And there's Christians that are like, "Oh, you lust over other people's spouses? My spouse has been in jail for 10 years. Sorry about your life. That must be hard for you." "Well, Pastor, I haven't read my Bible in forever. There's so many translations in English and it doesn't really say what I want it to say. I just keep trying for another translation." Do you know how many translations of the Bible are in Mandarin Chinese? One. And it's illegal. "Well, Pastor, Preacher, I couldn't make it to church today. You know, it was raining a little bit and we just had a good cup of coffee and we watched you on the live stream, or my kid had a game that we had to go to. It was more. I don't go to your church because I don't like the music. I don't like your preaching." Most Christians in the world are like, "Yeah, I don't have a building to not like going to. Or mine was burned down." We have the freedom to gather, so let's gather. We have the freedom to worship out loud, so let's worship out loud. We have the freedom to shout, let's shout. We have the freedom to be baptized in water, let's get baptized in water next Sunday. Mm-hmm. we have the freedom to tell other people about Jesus without fear of getting arrested. So let's tell people about Jesus and spread the gospel. Our brothers and sister in Christ, let's make them proud of how we live free, love God, live holy, study the scriptures, and how we spread the gospel in our city. Let's put aside more money to take the gospel to the nations. I got all upset there again, didn't I? I know, because the back of my neck's all hot. Go ahead and hop up on your feet. Let's pray. Honest to God, I don't think I did this right. And, you know, if you're a public speaker, I always replay sermons in my mind, and I usually hate most of them. And then you guys send emails and stuff, or you comment on Facebook and Instagram, like, oh, that message was so good, it changed my life. I'm like, were we listening to the same sermon? Because I thought it was awful. You guys are sweet. I meant to deliver this message with all sorts of, like, love and encouragement and, like, we can do it. But I've been doing this long enough that I'm like, I don't know if we can do it. I'm just like, can we? Can we live free up to the standard that's been set by our brothers and sisters in bondage? You know, it starts by being so weak about our faith. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a radical believer and lover of Jesus, today is absolutely your day to repent of your sin, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Why? Because you can. Because the price, I'm not going to talk you into it. I'm just going to tell you it's absolutely time to stop living in sin and living for yourself, to repent of your sin, make Jesus the Lord of your life, and then act like it. No, you don't get to bow your head and close your eyes. You get to have your head up and eyes open so you can look around. If you are here this morning, and for the first time in your life, or the first time in a long time, you want to make Jesus Lord, raise your hand up real high and say, preacher, today's my day. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Somebody else? Come on, raise your hand up. Over there, I see your hand over there. Come on, somebody. Somebody else? I see your hand over there. Somebody else? Good. Good. I'm so sick of the way we do altar calls. It's like we wonder why everybody's so weak spiritually. It's because we brought them to Jesus in a weak, sissy fashion. You that have been born again need to be baptized in water next Sunday in this service right there. Like, well, I was baptized as a 9-year-old. Yeah, but you sinned all through high school, so why don't you get all that sin washed away? I don't care that you were baptized as a little kid. Get baptized again if you're grown up. We got people in Africa. I read some of these stories. I didn't have time to incorporate them. They have to get baptized in their apartment. Like, they have plastic tubs because they don't even have bathtubs. They just have showers. So they get a plastic tub and they fill it with water in an apartment, and they secretly gather like 10 or 15 people in a bathroom and be like, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And they don't get to shout about it. Next Sunday, we get to shout about it. Oh, I'm so worked up right now. I wish I was taking an offering for something. So, hey, it cost over $2,000 for me to go there last week. So you paid for that. Thank you for your giving to this church. You're a generous church, and I'm very grateful. And that's what we do with your money, is we do what we can to change the world, see people saved. I think we could do better, don't you? Golly, I feel like we could do better. And we're not going to criticize lights and sound and padded chairs and air conditioning. That's how we reach people in Euless. You know what I'm saying? I get it. But we also have an airport 5 minutes away, so we can send your little butt overseas to go tell people about Jesus. If you don't have a passport, you're telling the underground church, I never want to come encourage you. Get a passport. So when we do world missions, you're like, yeah, I've got vacation days saved up. I'm even going to take a few unpaid days. I'm going to wherever the church goes, I'm going. I'm gonna tell people about Jesus and how much he loves them. I better stop, because now I'm just going long and getting. Here's what we're gonna do. You four people that raised your hand and either committed your life or recommitted your life to Jesus. Oh, I haven't prayed yet. It's gonna be the most hostile salvation prayer we've ever had. Because there's four people that had the, I almost said stones, but you can't say that, the courage to raise your hand. And there's a few people that didn't, and you're allowed to pray too. All you secret non-hand raisers, pray this prayer, and then in a minute, you fill out a card, you check that checkbox, and that we'll call that a raised hand. Golly. Close your, shut up, let's pray. Out loud, mean it, don't fool around. Dear Jesus, I repent of my sin. I'm so sorry I've sinned against you. God, please forgive me of my sin. God, please forgive me for not living up to the standard of being a Christian. I receive the gift of eternal life. I receive the forgiveness of my sin. So I stand here today, washed clean, holy, a man of God or a woman of God. And I thank you, Jesus. Help me to live up to the standard set by the persecuted church. Help me to love your word, to love to pray, to love to worship, to love to spread the gospel. Jesus' name. Amen. Hold on. I have a word. There's some folks here this morning that you didn't raise your hand. You've committed some like real sin. You know, like some Bible sins. Not just some little sin in your heart kind of thing. You've committed some crimes. Maybe you've committed some real sins against your body in drugs or alcohol. I feel like maybe some sexual sin. And you're like, man, I want to raise my hand. I want to ask God to forgive me. But I've been in this church so long, or I've been a Christian so long, it's just like I just carry the weight and this burden of this sin. Why are you carrying something that Jesus took to the cross? Why are you carrying something that Jesus lifted off of you and he put on his back 2,000 years ago? We all blow it. We all make mistakes. We all do stupid things. Stop carrying the weight of that sin. It's not, he loves you. He's not mad at you for what you did. He wants you to live in freedom so that you can live in freedom. I'd like our prayer team to come down to these altars. And if you're here this morning and you need prayer for anything, especially if you're one of those people that like, you know there's some stuff in your life you've got to repent of, but you can't quite get yourself to raise your hand. Come pray with one of these people for 30 seconds, for a minute. Just get it off your chest. Hey, 20 years ago, I stole from a convenience store and never got caught, or I had an affair, or I've been whatever. You know, like, confess your sin one to another, and then confess it to God, and he's going to wash you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. For the free people in this place, oh, but if you need prayer for any reason, prayer in your marriage, if there's sickness or pain in your body, it's not God's will for you to have sickness or pain in your body. Come, let hands laid on you. Let's believe God for healing. You need prayer for any reason, come to the altars. If you just need to get alone with God, just come kneel down in the front or on the sides and just spend time in prayer with you and God. Put yourself in a jail cell and learn to pray. For the rest of you free people, let's lift our hearts, let's lift our voices, let's lift our hands, and let's shout and dance and worship because we can.